January the 1st, New Year's Eve. Well, New Year's. And I was with a bunch of preachers. We hit a camp there, 2,100 men, and 51 souls got saved on New Year's. That's how I started my year off, seeing souls come to Christ. I'll never forget this one boy. He was 53 years old, was on drugs all his life, that meth. And he told me, preacher, he was smiling with a smile on his face. He said, preacher, I'm the happiest I ever been in my life. I got saved here, and I've been sober for 6 months. Amen. You got folk running around here that ain't in their right mind. They might not be on drugs, but you know the World Wide Web can be addictive. You know that you have people in Korea that are going to detox because they are addicted to the World Wide Web. Did you know that? Information overload. They go into a panic if they don't have it. Amen. Hey, because they hitting them websites and it hits that dopamine in them. You know, anybody know what dopamine is? That's that happy drug that's inside of you, hormone that's inside of you. And Satan know exactly what he's doing to keep you comfortable, amen. Keep you out of church, keep you out of your Bible, keep you where you are, hey, on the shelf, so you can't do nothing for God. Well, I'm here to tell you, and these preachers gonna here to tell you this week, that, hey, we got a God in heaven. We need to put it in another gear. We need to grab this old book. We need to fall in love with it. We need to saturate our mind with it, because greater is him that is in you than him that is in the world. Amen. And I'm going to fight until I see Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We need to fight until we see Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do. We need to stick to the word of God, and we need to apply the word of God to our family, our communities. We need to love folk. We don't see nothing about love. You ain't going to see nothing about love on TV no more. You're going to see hate, hate, hate. Where's God in that? He's not. He's not. The blame game is going on. Well, I'm going to show you some things that Jesus told his disciples to do. And it's going to be kind of uncomfortable, because he knew what human beings need in order to be strengthened, in order to fight the good fight of faith, in order to wage a warfare on our enemy. We got to get uncomfortable sometime. We got to get uncomfortable. He going to show us some things that he told his disciples to do, and we need to hear to it. Amen.
Amen.
Open your Bibles to chapter 9. Let's look at, staying out of reading of God's word, we're going to go to verse 23, and then I'm going to give you some background, and then I'm going to get up out of here, so Brother Murphy can preach. But in chapter 9, in verse 23, you know, Peter had already declared his faith. He did that in this chapter. And in verse 23, the Bible says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my word, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Title of the message is Time to Get Uncomfortable. It is time to get uncomfortable. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this church you put here, Moore Baptist Temple, Father God, again, and his leadership you put here. Bless these people. Lord, use them in a mighty way in this community, in this state, in this world, this nation. Lord, they got missionaries all over the world telling them about you, Lord. Lord, thank you for allowing us to give the missions. Thank you for churches, giving churches, loving churches, Lord, to get the gospel to the lost and dying world. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. And you can be seated. You can be seated. Luke 9 again says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny self, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's your 3 points. Deny self, take up your cross daily, and follow me. I think Matthew's one of them has just take up a cross. But you know Luke, he's analytical, amen. He's detailed. He said, take up your cross and follow me daily. Follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. And so we see here, God is outlining what they need to do. But if you look in chapter 9, verse 1, he put them on a mission here. He was testing them. Look what he did here, and this is some uncomfortable stuff here. I'm thinking about military, but this is uncomfortable here. It says, then he called his 12 and together and gave them power and authority over all devils and cure the diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey. Nothing mean nothing. Look, listen to what he said here. Nothing, neither stave, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have 2 coats. You don't even care. I don't want you to carry a set of clothes. Yeah. I don't even want you to carry something, a stain. I don't want you to carry anything that secure that you can, something might harm you. I don't want you to carry that. I don't want you to carry nothing, a script. I don't want you to carry nothing, your Bible. I don't want you to carry anything but yourself. What was he doing? Well, he was creating a look. He was getting in their mind that you need to trust in me for everything. Amen. Everything. You need to trust in me. You don't need no money. You got the man that hold the bag. You don't need no safety. You got the all power. Hey, my Bible says in Exodus 15, when he came across the Red Sea, he said, hey, they was cheering and high-fiving and singing. And I'll never forget this. He said, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. That's all you got to tell me. He's Lord. He's a man of war. He going to fight my battles. Let's go. No stave, no script. I want you to get out there. I want you to get your feet dirty. I want you to get on, knock on some doors. I want you to lay, look some people in the eye and love them, but tell them, look, this is serious business. You're going to die one day. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You got a death date. Hell is real. Heaven is real. Holy Ghost is real. I'm going to preach that next tomorrow. But he wanted to let, he wanted to test them. But we get here in 23, he said, look, here's the deal. It narrowed down to this thing here, right here. You need to deny self. You need, if you want to follow me, you need to deny your little selfish attitude. Your little what you want, what you need. I, me. That's all we got in this society these days. You know, we raising a generation. They think they need everything. Give me. You get out there and work for it like I did. Huh? You get on your knees and pray. Ask the Lord. I think we got a lot. We got a generation that still got a biblical card on them, and all the kind of Bible they know is what's coming out of the preacher's mouth. Hey, you did your own studies, right? You should, because that's a command. Studies show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That applies to every one of us. That applies to every one of us. But he says, here, look here. You need to deny self. That's a critical thing. Let me show you something. Why is uncomfortable good for you? Why is it? Because uncomfortable promotes change. It should be a substance. It should be a substance for action. If something bothers you, you're going to see what's wrong with it. It's simple as that. If a fly starts rolling around your nose, you're going to swat at it, ain't it? If your legs start getting numb, you're going to move and change and make sure your circulation is right. It creates change. A.W. Tozer said this, may God deliver us from the easygoing, smooth, comfortable Christianity that never lets the truth get hold of us. That's A.W. there. Yeah. Y'all know who A.W. is. He's straight up. He didn't care about how modest he looked. He just told you like it was. Right, A.W. He said this also. He said, if I am to wholly follow the Lord Jesus, I must forsake everything that is contrary to him. Everything that's going against God, we need to forsake that. I don't want nothing to do with it. If it's going contrary to God, it's easy to find. You go right out them door, you can look around. Anything you want to see, a lot of it is going contrary to God. We got a lot of God haters out there.
Yeah, right.
We are in hostility,
right.
Hostile ground.
Right.
And we need to realize that. I put down here, pain is weakness leaving your body. Pain is weakness leaving your body. You tell my soldiers that. They said, Sergeant Major, why are we running another mile? We done ran 5. I said, you're going to get stronger. That's that weakness talking. That's that flesh talking to you.
Yeah.
I want you strong. What if you got to carry your brethren that's shot in the leg another mile? Huh? When you're tired.
Yeah.
It, your body gonna fail. If you don't have the spirit, you ain't gonna make it. So why do we get so comfortable in our Christianity that complacency becomes good enough? Our busy lives take the place of our biblical lives. See, we can get so busy, we think we're doing God, and we ain't doing nothing but wrecking our brain. Busyness is not godliness. You remember when they was getting ready to come get Jesus, and Jesus was praying, he's going to pray, and he come back, and his disciples sleep, and he come back, and the disciples sleep. He said, just go on and sleep at the end. Because the flesh done took over. Just go on. Go on and sleep. And we need to realize that our flesh is not in control. Our spirit should be in control when we need to take charge. I want you to see here something in Proverbs chapter 30, and I want you to mark it down. And I ain't going to expound on it much, but what you need to do is underline it in your Bible. You write in your Bible, I write in mine all over. I had to change, once in a while I had to change our Bibles. I done wrote all over, but I keep it as a library. But we're going to go Proverbs chapter 30, and we're going to go right here and look at some things. Proverbs chapter 30, right here. This is Agar. I truly believe it's another name for Solomon. Agar means collector or gatherer, but let's go to 30 and verse 5. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Amen. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. We got a lot of them out there these days, liars. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity, that's emptiness and lies. Give me neither poverty, listen to me now, nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. You know what that means? Give us, Lord, our daily bread. That's what he's saying. Then he says, lest I be full. Listen to me. I want you to get this. This is where I'm at. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. That's what's happening in 2023, my friend. They think they're so full. They forget God. They got an air conditioner, two cars, running around. Hey, they got a job. They got a little money coming in. Benjamin's coming in a little bit. Got a little in their pocket. They comfortable. Don't need God. And a lot of, you know, folk alluded to staying at home and looking at church on TV, trying to join church on TV. What is that? God said not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. I'm going to tell you something as a soldier. It's something about socializing. It's something about looking a man eye in the eye and saying, man, I love you. I love what you're doing. I love what you're preaching. Encourage him. Loving people, shaking his hand and saying, I care about you. It's something about that. It's God in that. Amen. He said we need to come together. Even in the secular world know it's wrong. And one of the things that the Romans did was they put their soldiers on garrisons, not just because Caesar could have his at beck and call or his thumb on them, but because they became more warrior-like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They learned from each other. You follow me? Our assembly together, we learn to fight the good fight of faith because we come together and we create dialogue and we hear from these different testimonies of what our faith has carried us through, amen. and what God has did in our life, that means something to me.
Amen.
We forget that he's still working, amen. He wants to, hey, he want his people to brag about him.
Amen.
I tell you right now, the devil in hell and the demons tremble when a saint start testifying of Almighty God. Read Revelation chapter 12.
Amen.
You will see that. We need to realize that we need to be uncomfortable at times. We need to realize we don't need to be sitting and soaking. We need to be, hey, we need to be out there serving. Amen.
Amen.
Bible says in Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked.
Yeah.
That's what we got out there, running blind and naked and don't realize. Zit, the riches is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
That's the society that we at. Let me, as a matter of fact, let me go to Revelation chapter. I want to give you something here. Revelation 3. I just quoted that one, 17. But I want to show you something here that he also said. He said in verse 18, he said, I counsel thee to buy of my gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. His gold, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that they mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You see that?
Yeah.
Look here. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We need zeal in our churches today. We need some people to get on fire today. He said, be zealous and repent. We need the zeal of God. We need folk to get on fire for God. We need, hey, that fire is in your bosom, amen. We need to be like Matthew said in chapter 5. We need to be the light of the world. He said, you are light. He didn't say you had it, although you have it, but he said, you are the light of the world. We need that zeal, amen. We need that zeal. I want you to underline that in your Bible. Therefore, and repent. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's you. That's me. We need to do that. We don't need to be sitting and soaking. We need to be serving God. We know that serving the Lord in this world is not easy. It didn't mean to be easy. I just showed you chapter 9 example. It didn't mean to be easy. If it's easy, you get lazy.
Right. Right.
Get lazy. I used to carry my troops on a 6-mile run at least twice a month. I didn't tell them when. I didn't tell them what day. I didn't even tell them how long we was going to run. You know what happened after a while? Their conditioning increased. Because the expectation, they said, well, it's going to happen. I'm going to have to run. I don't want old Sergeant Major beating me. So their increase. See, God want to challenge us so our knowledge of him And our faith will increase as we go. Faith without works is dead, ladies and gentlemen, if you ain't heard that lately. Will increase. Your faith will increase. We're going to preach on faith here sometime this week. But it's time to get uncomfortable. Now, number one, number two, and number three. First one is mental discomfort is number one. If any man will come after me, let him deny self and take up his cross and follow me. Without self-denial, there can be no real cleaving of the moral nature to the will of God. If you don't deny self, you ain't walking in the spirit. If you don't deny self, you got to let go and let God here. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2 said, for man shall be lovers of them own selves. That's where we at. It's all about him. God said, deny self. Change is discomforting at times. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is boggling to the mind. It's discomforting in transformation. Transformation. Have you ever took a class in college? And you nervous about the exam. You get, sometimes you get panic attack, and I didn't, because I wasn't the best student, so I had to train hard. I had to study more than others. People go to basketball, football, and play games. I'm in there studying. But have you ever been there where you said, man, I don't see it? That's a discomforted mentally. I just don't get what the teacher is telling me right now. And then all of a sudden, after hours of study, you get it. The light came on. That's what denying self will do when you seeking God. You seeking God, God gonna show you some things. You ain't gotta seek long. Ask, seek, and knock. Matthew 7:7. Asked, seek, and knock. We need to realize that God, that mental discomfort is conditioning your mind, because God wants your mind. You get the mind, you get the man. You get the mind, you get the man. God knows that, and Satan knows that.
That's right. Yeah.
That's why we getting hit all kind of airways, your eye gate and your ear gate, and it's trying to conform you to this world. And God said we need to be transformed, so we got to cut off some things. We got to unplug some things, amen. I'll never forget, I had my meetings when I was in the Army. And I don't even have my cell phone with me. I used to say, leave cell phones out the door here. Cut them off. I'm going to be in here about 45 minutes. If you can't discipline yourself to get rid of that cell phone for about an hour,
man, that's good.
You're addicted.
Yeah, that's good.
Hmm. And so I tell them, and you know, some of the leaders said, man, you know, that helps me. That helps me, because people want to lead by email and text. They don't want to talk to them. Brother Murphy said today, I want to hear the rise and fall of your voice. I want to hear the passion.
Right.
I can't get that in text.
Right.
I need to hear you. We're talking about a mind being discomforted so it can be used by God. Number two, physical discomfort. Physical discomfort. Look here. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny self, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Look, look, you know a little baby eagle, when they get to a size and mama say, you got to get up out of my nest, you know what mama do, or the big eagle do, he take thorns and weed it into the basket and make it uncomfortable for them so they can get up out of there. They need to get out there on their own. They got to fight for their own so they get uncomfortable. You know, sometimes God does that to the Christian.
Right.
You get all comfortable and carrying on. And God said, you know what? Change your mission. You need to go here. I ain't never go there. I ain't asked you. If you following me, you need to trust and obey. Because there was no other way.
Amen.
Let's go. That's what God is telling you. Because he knows what he knows what he want to do with you. But physically, it's exhausting. I told y'all this morning about incident I had, and I took a job and didn't have no business taking that job. I thought I needed the money, I guess. But God showed me. I went through a phase there that I said, man, you know, I was making my bills, but I wanted to do more with Christ, for Christ. You know, I was trying to do some, every once in a while, get into Israel. You know, I went 3 times. I wanted to continue to go every other year. That's expensive. But God provided. God provided. I didn't see it coming. God provided. I didn't have to go get no job. Hey, God provided for me because I was doing his will.
Amen.
But it was physically demanding on me. Let me tell you something. God will give you more than you can bear. You know that. Because he wants you to rely on him.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burdens is light. He didn't take the burdens. He made them lighter.
Yeah.
He's caring. Hey, that physical discomfort will condition you to follow him effectively because you're relying on him. Not your ability, but his ability.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Huh? Not your ability. But his ability.
Yep.
Not what you can do and what you know, but what God wants you to do and what he can do.
Amen.
Physical, mental discomfort, physical discomfort.
Yeah.
And then number 3, spiritual discomfort. It is always a struggle.
Yeah.
If you've been, I only been saved 30 years, been preaching 26. It is always a struggle between the flesh and the spirit.
That's right.
It's going to be until we go home to Jesus.
Yep.
And this is a discomfort. This is discomforting. We must worship God in what? Spirit and in truth. Listen here, let me tell you something. The spirit is not the soul. The spirit is your consciousness and your subconscious and your intuition. What are you feeding your consciousness? We talk about AI. AI don't have a conscience. What are you feeding your consciousness and your subconscious? Because you worship God in spirit.
Amen.
And in truth. We don't worship him in the flesh.
Amen.
We don't worship God in the flesh. If y'all, you ain't worshiping him. Because he said he worshiped God in spirit. And in truth. It's a struggle sometimes. It's spiritually discomforting. You know why? Because it's of God and he wants you to grow.
Come on,
right. Huh?
Yes.
Growing pains, amen. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, I was a master fitness instructor in the Army, and I used to tell them, they come in and I'll work them one day, and I might give them a light day. Next day, but let me tell you something, buddy. They come in, they all sort of can't move and everything. I said, that's growing pain, man. You finna get strong. I encourage you. You finna get strong. You saw today? You finna get strong, man. Your muscles is growing. But that was the truth. They had broke down their muscles, okay? They got sore. And as they grow, and they're gonna get stronger and stronger because they're gonna break down, they're gonna build, and they're gonna bring, y'all know the deal. But that's how we do. God wants us to understand we're going to go through some growing pains spiritually, but that's conditioning us to be more like him. Hello.
Amen.
We should be more. That's our goal, right? Is to be more like Christ.
Amen.
We're going to go through some discomfort in the spiritual realm. Lord, like, we're going to have to put away some things that's contrary to God. We're going to have to say, look, I can't deal with this. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say, then walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
For the flesh lusts after the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would, because you are God's and he want to control you. Amen. We seen that in David. We seen that in Joshua. We see that. Hey, and one of my favorite heroes in the Bible is Hezekiah. Hezekiah had all kind of excuses to fail as a king, didn't he? Ahaz was wicked as you could come, his daddy.
Yeah.
Don't blame it on your daddy. We got too many people, victims. Don't blame it. It's you as you standing in the need of prayer. Look in the mirror. It's your fault first. It's my fault first.
Yeah.
And Hezekiah came out of there once he anointed him. Hezekiah, once they anointed him as king, he tore down everything that didn't look like God. He went to the leadership and the priests. He got them. I got a message I'm preparing called Cleaning the House. He went up in there and he got them straight. Because if you don't get the leadership straight, the people ain't going to be straight. He burnt down the groves. He pulled down the things that they was worshiping that wasn't God. That's what we got to do, my friend. I'm talking about spiritually.
Yeah.
King Hezekiah seen the brazen altar, the brazen serpent, and he said, that's got to go too. You know the one that they had in the wilderness that if you look, you will live. They was worshiping it. Bible said he took that and he busted it down and crushed it down and called it, I think, Natakatan or something, meaning that brass thing. I'll just put it like that. It was nothing. He was showing them. Everything that exalted itself from the knowledge of God, he pulled it down. That's what we got to do. Anything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, we got to pull it down. It's a spiritual battle. We got to pull it down. And that's what King Hezekiah did. So we're talking about spiritual discomfort. Allow God to be first in your life. Some things we must go through to get where God wants us to be. Matthew 11:28 says, come ye, we done heard this, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. And I'm going to close with this verse. The Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That hardness, y'all, that hardness gonna come. But we gotta endure. We heard this morning, we got too many quitters out there, people quitting. Where are you going? Where are you going if you quit? You're going down.
Right.
John 6. Matter of fact, let's go there, and then I'm going to close. And I'll keep going. You know how preachers is. They close about 100 times, but I know we don't have time. We close about 100 times, but it's the Bible that's coming through our minds, and we remember stuff. But let's go to John chapter 6, verse 6. Where are you going, church? Where are you going, people? The Bible says in John 6:6, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. It's apostasy, ain't it, to its fullest. John 6:6, can you believe he lined that up with apostasy? Then he says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Think about it. He looking at them. He said, all that on the left, you've been following me. You done seen the miracles. You done seen my hand. You done seen the mighty hand of God. Will ye also go away? And you know Peter, he got to say something. He said, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. If you leave a Bible believing, hell hating, heaven loving church, you're going down. Where shall we go? Peter had common sense to understand. Where we go, you have the words of eternal life. You are God. You are the one. Where you going? That's where we need to be in our Christianity. We need to realize that, look, discomfort of the mind, that's going to come in this fight. Mental discomfort, it's going to come. Hey, physical discomfort, that's going to come. It's going to get a little, and spiritual discomfort. Look, this flesh don't want to follow Christ. It don't want to. It ain't going to automatically want to follow Christ. We got to get and put our soldier boots on every morning.
Yeah.
Getting hold of God.
Yeah.
Nobody in here. Hey, are you anticipating getting a hold of God every morning?
Amen.
We got to set our mind like that. Every morning, are you anticipating the fellowship of God so he can direct your path?
Amen.
Every day. That's where we got to be.
Amen.
It's time to get uncomfortable.
Good.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us.